the crowd on its feet. They are absolutely silent.
Wow, harder than I thought. Racing and talking at the same time.
Welcome to World of Motorcycling, covering rider culture and the motorcycle industry with John Davis, Walt Fletcher, and Steve, the producer, Johan.
Welcome, everyone, to another hour of World of Motorcycling. I'm Walt with my co-hosts, John and Steve. We've got a great show lined up for you. We always start this segment off with Inside the Helmet, where we do a ride-by overview of what's happening in the motorcycling industry. And I saw something very interesting that comes in. Now, you have to be able to read Chinese to understand it, so I don't know that much about it. But there's a company that's called Success ETC, and they're competing, and they will tell you, they are competing with Senna to dominate the market for intercom and Bluetooth to your phone and all that kind of stuff. And I found it very interesting that they said that. Now, once again, the emails that I get, the English is very broken, and most of it's all written in Chinese for their advertisements and so on. But the little things that they come in, they consider Senna to be at the top. Now, once again, Senna is the new guys on the block.
Right.
Actually, Success ETC is now the new guys on the
right.
block. But Cardo and some of these other ones have been around for a long time, and Senna has just blown right past them. And now Success ETC feels like they're going to do it. They just came out with a new one that hooks on to a modular or full helmet and has a built-in camera built into the thing.
Oh, wow. And it's not sticking out on the side. It's actually just on a little module versus...
No, and one of the things that they did was if you have a big...
GoPro?
Well, no. If you have a big, large capacity micro SD card in your phone, it'll Bluetooth to that and store it on that.
Oh.
So it doesn't try to hold all that video in the little bitty headset. And so this sounds very interesting, and I always write back to them, and they never write back. That, you know, 6 months from now, they'll send me another email, but they never respond to what I write to them.
It's because they are reading, on their end, it's just a big mass mailer, and it's all in Chinese. So they're, you know, it's like, well, you better set up a distribution system, because if I can't communicate with you one way or another, then why am I going to buy something from you?
And I keep telling them, I said, man, this sounds great. Send me one, and we'll wait. On World of Motorcycling, you know, so.
Well, send us a couple.
There you go. Well, speaking of new, Tucker Rocky gets a brand change, introducing the new Tucker, a rebranding of the Tucker Rocky brand that honors the company's rich heritage, showcases its status as a world-class leader in power sports distribution. It has dropped the Rocky name, which is Tucker Rocky. It's been that way forever. And will just be known as Tucker, kind of like the car, Tucker.
Yeah.
As part of the rebranding, Tucker proudly introduced a new logo, fast-facing square and a large notch T, combined to create a symbol of speed and innovation. Bold red was chosen Bold red was chosen to represent Tucker's passion to deliver the best brands in power sports. And I think it's probably to align with Honda, Yamaha, and Suzuki, not to mention Coca-Cola, all of which use red prominently in their logos. And since three of those,
well,
Honda,
red,
Yamaha,
red is the fastest color.
It is.
That's why I have a red motorcycle.
That's right. Do you get like 5 more miles an hour?
Absolutely.
Just
good
by having that red?
5 extra mile per hour.
You know, I got a red van. Maybe that's why it goes so well, not so fast.
It'll also get you caught by the cops.
They notice those things.
Statistic thing that they stop red vehicles more than anything, so.
Well, speaking of red, Yamaha is celebrating 30 years of building machines in the United States. Throughout the three decades as a leading manufacturer based in Georgia, Yamaha Motorcycle Company has produced more than 3.5 million vehicles, including ATVs, side-by-sides, golf carts, and watercraft for worldwide distribution. And for years, Yamaha's assembled in USA brand has represented the highest standards in power sports manufacturing and the thousands of U.S. jobs that Yamaha's local manufacturing supports. And I'm saying good luck for another 30 years, because that is quite a milestone. 30 years, going strong. I remember when they started bringing more Don't they also build, what's the other thing that they started building? Maybe it is just the side-by-sides. They brought those in. But
yep.
I think it's wonderful. And you think about, where do you think most of the sales for side-by-sides, watercraft, yep. and that's going to be? Here in the United States.
Yeah, right. It's going to be here.
You're not seeing a lot of these guys on the Amazon River flying around on watercraft like this. And you don't see a lot of people in...
Yeah, because if you're on the Amazon, the piranhas will get you.
And then don't they have the big... Where is it that's got the big eels? The big eels, electric eels. Isn't that the Amazon as well?
I think, well, they got morays out there.
Moray eels in the yeah. in the river. So not the kind of place you want to be playing. And then Polaris stockholders meeting is going to be, well, by the time you get this, already done with. But the manager will be discussing its plans to drive continued profitable growth. The meeting agenda will be posted on Polaris's investor relations website at www.ir.polaris.com on the events and presentations page. I'm hoping that they'll record this and they'll post it. Usually they do. They put these company-wide calls so that you can go in and listen to them. I've actually listened to other companies that way, just kind of doing some investigating, and next thing you know, I'm listening to insider information. But but you know what? It's not insider, because if you're a publicly held company, you have to make this stuff right. public. So yep. you can go in and say, I want to get a prospectus. You can see exactly how many Indian motorcycles that Polaris is actually selling versus side-by-sides and all that. So, and I thought this was kind of interesting. The House of Harley-Davidson is partnering with the Light the Hone campaign by dedicating light bulbs to new motorcycle owners, according to a report by WJT Milwaukee.
They're going to light what now?
Well, the dealership has partnered with the local civic leaders to help light the Daniel Hone Memorial Bridge, which crosses the Milwaukee okay. River inlet adjacent to Lake Michigan. But now here's this. For any new Harley motorcycle that they sell between June 12th and July 8th, the company says it will dedicate two bulbs to the new owner, and the owner will get a commemorative certificate. In addition, enthusiasts can claim a light and dedication through an individual donation at the website Lighthouse. Wouldn't it be just cool for them just to buy the light bulbs and yeah. give them instead of having you have to buy a bike? Anyway.
Hang on. We'll be right back with more of the World of Motorcycling.
Hey, everyone. Steve Johann here, producer of the World of Motorcycling show. If you have any interest in what's happening in the automotive world, then I invite you to listen to a really cool show called Horsepower, Chrome, and Rust, where we cover car culture and the automotive industry. Horsepower, Chrome, and Rust is a fast-paced weekly podcast featuring Shane Osborne, Brady Wright, and me, Steve Johann. You can hear the show at horsepowerchromeandrust.podomatic.com, where we'll be waiting for you.
What are all the things you witness online in a day? Cats playing piano, selfies on your feed, your friend's picture being turned into a nasty meme that's been shared 50 times, 51, 52. When someone's being bullied online, it's hard to know what to do. Now you can speak up with the witness emoji. It looks like an eye in a speech bubble, and it's in the symbol section near the clocks in your phone. You'll let the world know it isn't cool, and you'll let your friend know you care. Learn more at eyewitnessbullying.org, brought to you by the Ad Council.
Do you suffer from gastrointestinal anguish after eating spicy foods at your local Mexican restaurant? Do you suffer outrageous amounts of flatulence after eating greasy foods at your local fast food joint? Do you suffer from acid reflux after ingesting copious amounts of alcoholic beverages at your local drinking hole? Then call the law offices of Ambulance and Chaser at 1-800-782-5377, where we've helped thousands of so-called victims just like yourself. If you call us today at 1-800-782-5377, we'll make sure to send you out our free guide, The Top 20 Medical Issues Most Likely to Be Sued Over. But act today, because the longer you wait, the less chance you have to win your case. Remember, you don't have to suffer any longer. Instead, call us at 1-800-782-5377. The Law Offices of Ambulance and Chaser, making the most out of your misery. Please be advised, a law firm of Ambulance and Chaser is not licensed to practice law in all 50 states and may be called into question by the federal government for questionable practices, but hey, that's okay. You knew that already, didn't you? You greedy sucker.
Welcome back to the second segment of World of Motorcycling. Walt, Steve, and John here. For more about the show, please visit us at www.worldofmotorcycling.com. We'd like to start this segment off with our candid conversations, where we spend some time interviewing the movers and shakers, the pioneers and speed freaks, the customizers and rebels within the world of motorcycling. So we got a great guest with us this evening. We have Chris Westerholm, founder of Dragon's Last Ride. So we can learn more about the ride and how you can get involved.
Yep, you go to www.dragonslastride.org. Is that right, Chris?
That is right.
That's what I thought. So how's it going, Chris?
It's going good. Obviously busy with preparations for this year's ride, but yeah, we're looking forward to a new venue and a new route this year. So.
Yeah, so now you did really well at the fundraiser back at Red Onion, right?
Correct. We did just over $2,000.
Ah, very good.
That's so, really good. So,
sure, a couple hours, yeah.
What caused the move to?
It's funny because Eastside Harley Davidson, they're doing their annual or their celebration, right? There, and so it seems like we just kept on getting pushed out a little bit more every year. So, and then Emerald City Harley Davidson has been trying to get us to come over for years and years. So we're just like, you know what? It's a good time to make a move, change up the ride a bit, and, you know, we'll see where it takes us.
Yep. So is it just as long as it was before?
Yes. I'm still working on the route.
Why don't we back up for those who don't have a clue about what we're talking about? Because Walt's already jumped into the route and all the changes. Chris, let's share a little bit. Chris, how long you been doing Dragon's Last Ride?
2010 was our first year.
Yep.
And so this is our ninth year. To date, we've actually given out over 150 grants.
Wow.
Yep.
Which is kind of mind-blowing, just from my standpoint, because, you know, I think about, you know, what we've done and, you know, we bring in some money every year. And, over 150 grants. And now we're providing grants of up to $1,000 per family. And to date, we've already given, up until this point, we've already given out 14 grants. So...
Well,
yeah.
So do you guys keep track of people like me who've been on all of them?
I have a spreadsheet. I've tried to go through and put everybody in a an email.
Yep.
And I try to keep up that way. But
yep.
Well, let's talk a little bit about what is Dragon's Last Ride and how did it start?
So our daughter, Jenna, when she was 2.5 years old, was diagnosed with rhabdomyosarcoma. It's a soft tissue cancer. It could be almost anywhere in the body. Makes it kind of difficult to treat and sometimes find at times just because different symptoms, different places. Luckily, you know, we found Jenna's cancer early, but still early detection didn't help at all. And so I was diagnosed in 2006 and Jenna died in 2009. Mm-hmm. During those 3 years, she went through multiple chemo treatments, radiation, surgeries, and we live in Marysville. We had to go down to Seattle Children's Hospital. That's 45 minutes, you know, one way, no traffic kind of thing. At the time, gasoline was $4 a gallon. The cost, Michelle, she was staying home with the kids. So there was a lot of expenses, and I was working an hourly job, and I'd be taking a lot of time off, go down to the hospital. We'd spend days, weeks, you know, kind of in the hospital. So if it wasn't for people supporting us, and this is family, friends, church, and complete strangers. I mean, financially, we would not have made it. And so after Jenna had died and we're just processing, we're just, you know, what can we do? You know, we've been through the situation. So what have we learned? What have we taken from this? And then is there something that we can do? And so we thought of a way that, you know what, let's help other families. I mean, let's help these people who are going through the same things that we just got done with. And let's see what we can do. You know, if it's, you know, even $1,000 isn't going to go far. I mean, it's not going to pay your mortgage completely, but you know what? If it pays for your gas and, you know, a couple utility bills for a month, you know, that's a huge burden off someone's back. And so, you know, we'll do what we can. And, you know, we've even taken some kids on motorcycle rides and, you know, we try to make an experience out of it. So,
well, and I remember when
kinda,
I remember when you launched it at the market there in Mill Creek, and went out and you had a whole family there and a bunch of people, and Walt was there and stuff. And I remember launching that. That was like 9 years ago. Wow. And it's just grown. I mean, you've grown this, and now you go to you take these rides, and you not only do a ride, but you do like what Walt you were saying, that they do these pre-fundraisers. So how does that work?
Specifically in this case, every year we go to the Red Onion in Matlock Terrace. It's a burger joint, and
that's right. Yes. Sorry, I said
they,
no
yeah. Free. So they give us 20% of all sales, and then all the cash tips, and 50% of all the you know, credit card tips. But the cool thing is it's not a whole lot of work for us. We just put it out there. Hey, here you go. I mean, my wife is saying otherwise. I mean, she puts so much into this. She is such an organizer, and she does an amazing job with it. It makes it seem smooth and flawless. I am definitely not organized like she is. So, and so I, you know, and let me just put that out there, because she does an amazing job with this, and it would not be what it is today if it wasn't for her.
Yep.
She has incredible organizational skills, and but you know, it's like that's something that's relatively easy to do. And you know what? It doesn't take much to do it.
Mm-hmm.
Yep.
Anybody can go out and put one of these together. I mean, you can go over to Buffalo Wild Wings. They always do something. I mean, all you got to do is say, hey, you know, let's come out. Let's do a little fundraiser.
Yep.
Anyone who comes in, boom, you get a percentage. You know, there's Boston's. They do an awesome job. We did one there a few years ago. And, you know, it's something like that. It's like it's easy to do. It doesn't take a lot of planning. You know, you just have to get the word out. So, you know, whatever way that we can – kind of bring in the money, you know,
And now is that's geared to both riders and non-riders, isn't it?
Oh, yeah, yeah. In fact, so this year we're ending at Emerald City in Linwood, and we open it up afterwards. I mean, we always open it up, you know, in hopes that we can bring someone who's not a motorcycle rider. Hey, why don't you come out? You know, if nothing else, watch us come in. It's always impressive to see a bunch of motorcycles come in, you know, all in one group, and then, you know, hang out, have lunch. And, you know, we always have a tendency to get too many raffle items, but, you know, you know, so I love to give stuff away, right? It's easy to do. It takes a little bit of time, but you know what? I have some people who are, you know, getting some donations, and I'm stopping by, you know, I stopped by on the way home and stopped at like three different places on my way home today. You know, it doesn't take that long. So, yeah. So I'm looking forward to having a good time afterwards. So, yeah.
And a lot of people will just do this because you walk in and you say, hey, we're doing this for little kids that have cancer.
Right.
And they go, oh, man, you know, and that's just, you know, they'll give you stuff left and right. And of course, there's there's the separate. You know, they have ones where you get door prize kind of stuff, and you can buy extra tickets or whatever. And then they also have ones where they're raffling, and you get specific tickets for specific things that you're trying to get. And these are ones like a Seattle Seahawks ball signed by several players or something from the Mariners or who knows what.
You know? Oh, well, your wife has to watch your wallet because you're just all over that, aren't you?
No. Somewhat.
Well, he likes every sport there is in Seattle.
There are things that my wife spends more money buying tickets for than
I know. That's my wife, too. We go to the any kind of a fundraiser for the robotics team or something, and it's like the next thing you know, well, I just paid. I go, that's fine, honey. Not a problem. That's we're supporting our team. So, Chris, let's segue a little bit, and you've got – this year's ride, and when will this year's ride be?
July 14th.
Okay, and you were going to meet where? And well, okay. Do you have the start and the finish?
It's all going to be Emerald City, so we'll start and end at Emerald City.
So if people want to know more about it, they just go to dragonslastride.org?
Right.
Yes. Either one will take you there. And then... also, Facebook, we've got events on Facebook. Emerald City is, you know, they're plugging it. They've created their own Facebook event, too.
Oh, very good.
Nice.
Yeah.
Well, and it's kind of interesting that you're partnering up with them and not the other guys that are up north that are closer to where you live. But, you know, sometimes you got to work with who's going to work with you, don't you?
Well, another thing is we kind of want to incorporate as many people as we can.
Oh, so the South End's a little better for that, isn't it?
South, yeah, it is. And, you know, we've got, you know, of course, we've got people come from the east side, and we've got, you know, we do have some people coming from quite a ways away. So, yeah, so we try to keep it down there, keep it local. I like the east side. It's kind of easy to get to.
Right.
But even then, Linwood, I mean, it's right there at 405 and I-5. I mean, it's a pretty... Yep. Pretty straightforward.
Yeah. It is. And, you know, I want to, we're going to continue this on in the next segment, and our break is coming up, so I don't want to cut off Chris. So hang on, folks. We'll be right back with more of the show and Chris Westerholm.
When you want the latest news and information related to the Canadian motorcycling scene, then turn to BeltDriveBetty.com, your trusted source for all things motorcycling. BeltDriveBetty.com, serving the Canadian motorcycling scene since 2003.
Hi, I'm Danica Patrick. Watching my nieces grow, play, and learn is amazing, but not every child gets to be carefree. 1 in 6 kids in the U.S. are hungry. This breaks my heart, and it's something that Feeding America is working to change. Each year, the Feeding America network of food banks rescues billions of pounds of good food that would have gone to waste and gives it to families in need. To help, visit feedingamerica.org.
Brought to you by Feeding America and the Ad Council.
Hey, all you guys and gals. The next time you're hankering for a trip down memory lane, we recommend a visit to our Older Than the Hill Chateau de Smell Resort in Boondocks, Idaho, where the rooms smell like week-old cigarette smoke and month-old beer. Every weekend during the summer months, we feature our Old Maid Punker Run, Gooder Trash Clam Bake, and Big Ted's Keg Toss. And don't forget our complimentary Bloody Mary morning appetizers to chase away those late-night reveries. Sure enough, when you want to travel back and enjoy those old biker smell, then come to stay at Chateau de Smell, where our two mascots, Pit and Bull, will greet you at the gate and where we never leave the lights on. Because, hey, after all, we're going green. Chateau de Smell, because nothing beats the old days of smoky bars, stale beer, and crap on the carpet than a visit to Chateau de Smell. And for those who don't know how to spell Chateau de Smell, that's okay. We made it easy for you. It's smellit.com.
When you want the latest news and information related to the Canadian motorcycling scene, then turn to BeltDriveBetty.com, your trusted source for all things motorcycling. BeltDriveBetty.com, serving the Canadian motorcycling scene since 2003.
You could crack a chrome crown nut, make a hard tail go soft.
Welcome back to the third segment of the World of Motorcycling, where we continue our candid conversations. If you want to participate in the show, make sure to visit our page, Facebook page, where you can make comments and contact us. And right now we are talking with Chris Westerholm, the founder of Dragon's Last Ride, and it is a charity ride to raise money and awareness of children with cancer and helping people out.
Specifically sarcomas.
That's right. And it's to help people out who are in the same position that Chris and his wife and his family were 9 years ago. And so what we want to do is we just wanted to give him a chance to share a little bit. And if you want more information, for those who just tuned in, it's dragonslastride.org. And Chris, we were leaving off, and I wanted to, I think we're going to ask about, well, you like to find out where the newest ones are being opened up, the newest rides.
Yeah, they have one that was started in Alaska. And Chris, I had heard that there was going to be other ones. Have you had any new Dragon's Last Rides open up?
We haven't. I was hoping to get Portland, but I don't quite have the connections set up yet. So,
so well, where do you where do you have them? Or has it changed?
So we did have Alaska.
Mm-hmm.
This year they have changed and they've actually gone away from, and the reason they're not doing that anymore is they could not get the sponsors that they were wanting.
Mm-hmm.
Because it was supporting kids in more than just Alaska.
Oh, okay.
And so, and I don't blame them. I think it's a great idea, because if they can get sponsors that they normally wouldn't have, then that's great. You know, they're still up there. They're still, you know, it's a spinoff of what we did. And, you know, so they're helping more kids. They're probably providing, could eventually provide probably more money to local kids up in Alaska. But at the same time, if someone comes down from Alaska, you know, and they need support, then we'll support them.
Yep.
You know,
and it was started by the Elliott family that was supported,
right,
by General Westerholm Foundation. And I actually was able to take Katie before she passed away, not from sarcoma. She mm-hmm. she beat to sarcoma, but then it came back, and she died of lung cancer.
Yep.
But I was able to take her for a ride at one point. And seeing these kids get out on a motorcycle on the back of it and just loving it.
Mm-hmm.
I actually went on another one where I still had my big Heritage. And they decided they wanted to get like the rocking chair kind of thing. So they got like electro glides and road glides and stuff to put them. And there was another little girl named Riley who went as well as Katie on that one.
Yep.
And, you know, we love having these kids. You know, I remember the second or third when Katie actually rode in Dragon's Last Ride, made it about halfway through. Yep. And just couldn't keep it up because this, you know, what they go through to beat these things wears them down.
Right.
But, like I've always said, bikers put on this thing about being big and tough, but they're squishy in the middle.
Mm-hmm.
And if you got problems with a kid, the biker is all over it.
Mm-hmm.
And if you mess
bikers
with a kid, that's where Bikers Against Child Abuse came from.
Right.
Mess with a kid, and you may be looking down the barrel of some bad stuff. But at any rate, you know.
Well, so Chris, that kind of brings me back to when a organization like yourself takes on the responsibility of putting on an event like this, and you've never done it before, and you have a hopes that, you know, a handful of people are going to show up. And some of these events, you know, they grow. Others, they grow to a certain point and they shrink, and then all of a sudden they're just, they go away because maybe the founders or the new breed of riders are just not as interested. And so how have you kept for 9 years keeping this alive, and what are you doing to promote it throughout the year and bring people interested, involved with this kind of thing?
You know, I think a lot of it, we do get a lot of repeat. And so a lot of people enjoy, you know, have a good experience. They come back and, you know, I'm always looking for ways to improve it. And so a lot of it is just kind of word of mouth at this point.
Mm-hmm.
I've been to the hog groups, and this year it hasn't really worked out. I went to Emerald City, but yeah, I haven't really been out as much as I would have liked, but you know, life gets in the way too. So,
well, that's what I'm saying. This is all 100% volunteer on your part.
Exactly.
Yep.
So it's, it is. It you know, it wears at you after a while.
Yep.
So if, you know.
Yep. And that's kind of the way that it actually started out, because I was in the Great Northwest Harley Owners Group. And at that time, that was like 2 or 3 owners ago. And at that time, we were known for having the best road captains in the world. And we get over at this church that we're starting from, and they weren't able to get the people to help them do the ride. And so the road captains from GNW stepped up and, you know, they found out where we're going and how we're doing it. And so they managed the ride and so on like that. And it turned out to be a really great ride.
Right.
And like I say, since then, every year I go back. It's just you see some of these kids and you get to talk to them and you can't help it. Next year you want to go again. Just, you know, I got to help the kids. So there's a couple of things. It's like Dragon's Last Ride and Ride for Kids and so on that I always go on, because I just can't let the kids down.
Right.
And all over the place, there's people like that. You know, hopefully there will still be lots of people on this ride.
Well, and does it, you know, you're joined up with the Harley-Davidson, Emerald City Harley-Davidson, but is this made up of a mixed bunch of riders, so all different types of bikes and ages and everything?
Oh, definitely. I mean, we have everything from Ducatis to, you know, even a couple years we had a guy on a scooter.
Very good.
It was kind of funny, but, you know, he kept up, so.
And a lot of the Harley guys will make jokes because see, Chris rides a Honda.
Right.
And you still got
makes
a Honda,
him okay
right?
in my book.
That's right.
I
well, I thought you would say that, John. But at any rate,
well, it makes it okay in most people's
books.
But
you have a lot of Harley riders will talk about spending all morning chasing a Honda.
Right.
You know, but they're kidding.
Well,
because
I've dodged enough parts falling off of Harleys, so.
Yeah. Parts do not fall off of my bike. I'll put it that way.
Well,
you know, I got a Honda Shadow, and it works. You know, it's a good commuter. It's not very comfortable for much more, you know, longer than the motorcycle ride. But, you know, it's reliable.
Well, so. You know, the thing is, it's kind of interesting. There's a lot of bikes, and I don't care what make or model or manufacturer. There's certain bikes that you ride for a little while, and you had your fun.
Yep.
And then you have other bikes you can ride all day.
Yep.
And I don't care the manufacturer. There's just certain bike styles that you are not going to be riding around all day long unless you happen to be someone who doesn't mind and that like that has iron butt mentality. But it's just the way it is. So you're right. There are certain bikes that you ride short, you ride long. And I know John's got a big cruiser. Walt's got a big cruiser. So you can ride all day and not be tuckered out when you get there. But the smaller bikes or the more crunched up bike, after several hours, you're starting to like, I need to pull over and spend some time off.
And John's big cruiser is a Honda. So we don't.
Yes, it is.
And it runs great.
It's all about the seat.
That's
it's
right.
All about the, yeah, you got that right.
The seat, yes. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yes.
Well, that was the best money I ever spent was getting my custom seat put on.
Well, if you go back, you go back to the old days, and we're talking the 20s and 30s. You look at the seats on those bikes. They were right off of a saddle. I mean, these things are huge. They got the springs underneath there. And we've seen these vintage bikes at the vintage bike shows. Yeah. And I'm like, does that very – and he goes, check these springs out. And you're sitting on it, and it's like – this is like a tractor. And it springs, and all of a sudden you're like, darn, this is probably more comfortable than most bikes are with their hard plastic, you know, hard vinyl over there. And you'd be surprised. Those big, wide butt seats, they're great.
That's how people were able to ride hardtails.
That's right, because they had the spring.
The spring in the seat,
that's
not in the frame. So
that's where the suspension was.
That's exactly right, which if you think about it, buckboards, they had the little thing like that too. So, well, Chris, it seems to me that you've put in a lot of effort and you've raised a lot of money and you've been able to help out a lot of people. Is most of the people you help out people that are involved with Seattle Children's Hospital, or is it with anybody in the area whose kid is going through treatment and maybe in another hospital?
Yeah, definitely. Everything is funneled through the Northwest Sarcoma Foundation. We raise the money, we take the money, we transfer it down to the Northwest Sarcoma Foundation, and they take the responsibility because everything is already set up for them. I mean, they already provided grants for adults. We just created the pediatric program and or partnered with them to create it, and then but they've talked to, I mean, Mary Bridge down in Tacoma. They got the, the big one down in, Dormier down in Portland. Doesn't matter. I mean, because the foundation has contacted social workers at hospitals, Montana, Idaho, Washington, Oregon.
Mm-hmm.
They've contacted them. The social workers know about the program. So, I mean, that's why, I mean, you know, we've provided over 150 grants and,
That's awesome. And you take a tragedy like the loss of your daughter and you transfer that into a way of giving back and helping others who are working through and going through the similar things that you went through. And I find that that's a boy. There's a number of people over the years that I've met that have put on things like what you're doing that have, out of their pain, they decided to channel that pain into something positive and giving back. And, you know, hats off to you and your wife. And whether you decide to keep this going for another 10 years or after 10th year, you're saying, you know, we've done our job and we're moving on. Chris, we just want to say thanks for all your work out there.
Yeah, really.
Well, thank you. I appreciate it.
You bet. Well, we're getting towards the end of our segment here. So I just want to, one more time, Chris, where can people get more information about where you're at?
Either Facebook, Dragon's Last Ride, or dragonslastride.org. That's our website.
Very good.
And we have our registration open. You can access it either through the website, Facebook, or actually if you go to the Northwest Sarcoma Foundation, their website. It just channels you right to their website anyways. Yep.
Very good. And and Walt's going to tell us after the ride how things went. And what date again is that one more time?
July 14th.
Yep, I'll be on vacation, and so we're going to have a couple weeks of blackout while I'm on vacation. Yep. So when I get back, Walt can tell me all about it. And
my wife will be in California.
That's right.
Seeing my new grandbaby that I wish I could go and see. So.
Well, since you're not going to have to do the show, maybe you can go down with her.
Well, if I could find a box. Anyway.
Yeah, I understand how that works.
There's that.
Yes, there is. There always is that. Well, thanks so much for being on with us, Chris. We appreciate what you're doing, and we'll let everybody know.
All right. Thank you very much. I appreciate it.
You bet. You have a great night.
Thank you. You too.
Bye-bye.
Bye.
Bye. So that was Chris Westerholm and with his Dragon's Last Ride. And for more information, just go to dragonslastride.org, and you can find out more about it. And, Walt, you're going to be at this, are you not?
I'm in already.
Yep, that's right.
Pat can't go, but we bought her a T-shirt that I'm going to pick up.
Very good.
So we always, you know, get the T-shirt.
Do you have any other buddies around here that you can pick up to go to this thing?
oh, I have a lot of people that I know that I'm telling they need to get into
right.
it. Once again, probably my best buddy now lives in Arizona.
That's right.
And he actually went with me. And the interesting part was that Eastside, the little chick there, salesman, decided, well, why don't you take this brand new Heritage
right.
and ride it, the Dragon's Last Ride? Well, we like had to pry it from his cold, dead fingers. He wasn't going to let go of that thing.
Oh.
Right?
Uh-huh.
But could not. They did everything they could to get it and could not get the... Well, there's our music. We'll be back in just a moment with our next segment and safety and all that old stuff.
Yep.
I saw the road ahead. It was a long and winding trail. Saw a chance to leave.
Hey everyone, Steve Johan here, producer of the World of Motorcycling show. If you have any interest in what's happening in the automotive world, then I invite you to listen to a really cool show called Horsepower Chrome and Rust, where we cover car culture and the automotive industry. Horsepower Chrome and Rust is a fast-paced weekly podcast featuring Shane Osborne, Brady Wright, and me, Steve Johan. You can hear the show at horsepowerchromeandrust.podomatic.com, where we'll be waiting for you.
Hi, I'm Danica Patrick. Watching my nieces grow, play, and learn is amazing, but not every child gets to be carefree. 1 in 6 kids in the U.S. are hungry. This breaks my heart, and it's something that Feeding America is working to change. Each year, the Feeding America network of food banks rescues billions of pounds of good food that would have gone to waste and gives it to families in need. To help, visit feedingamerica.org.
Brought to you by Feeding America and the Ad Council.
Do you suffer from gastrointestinal anguish after eating spicy foods at your local Mexican restaurant? Do you suffer outrageous amounts of flatulence after eating greasy foods at your local fast food joint? Do you suffer from acid reflux after ingesting copious amounts of alcoholic beverages at your local drinking hole? Then call the law offices of Ambulance and Chaser at 1-800-782-5377, where we've helped thousands of so-called victims just like yourself. If you call us today at 1-800-782-5377, we'll make sure to send you out our free guide, The Top 20 Medical Issues Most Likely to Be Sued Over. But act today, because the longer you wait, the less chance you have to win your case. Remember, you don't have to suffer any longer. Instead, call us at 1-800-782-5377. The Law Offices of Ambulance and Chaser, making the most out of your misery. Please be advised, a law firm of Ambulance and Chaser is not licensed to practice law in all 50 states and may be called into question by the federal government for questionable practices, but hey, that's okay. You knew that already, didn't you? You greedy sucker.
Welcome back to the fourth segment of our show. In this segment, we'd like to start things off with our Between the Lines, where we share a weekly safety tip. So, John, what tip do you have for us this week?
One of the elements of the Washington State Motorcycle Skills Test is a turn from a stop. Mm-hmm. And the objective is to demonstrate that you're able to make a turn from a stop while staying in your lane. Often we see a rider who pulls away from a curve, crosses one or sometimes two lanes of traffic before finally easing his way back into the right lane that he originally pulled out into. So when he's pulling across traffic and then back into the right lane, he's a target for all the other vehicles on the road. So this is a basic skill that we work on in the motorcycle safety courses. And again, it's something that is on the test. So I want to share a few tips for how to execute a turn from a stop. Best place to practice this is in your friendly neighborhood empty parking lot. You hear me reference those all the time. They're good places to work on developing your motorcycle handling skills. You can use the lines for the parking spaces to help demarcate the line you're trying to stay within. So begin with your bike perpendicular to the road's curb. Put the transmission in gear. Turn the handlebar to the right. With practice, you'll learn the correct amount. It's not necessarily a full lock turn. But let's say we're going to do this to the right, because that's usually the way it goes. You're going to want to lean the bike a little bit to the right. Shorter riders and even taller riders, you may want to put your left foot up on the peg and take a little step away from the bike with your right foot. That'll get the bike already pre-leaned towards the right, the direction that you want to turn. Ease the clutch out into that friction zone and pull into the right-hand lane while maintaining slight pressure on the right grip. So the rider, you remain sitting upright and allow the bike to lean underneath you. And of course, as always, be sure to look where you want to go, because that's where you're going to end up. So you don't want to practice this on a street. Again, use an empty parking lot. Use the parking space lines to stand in for the parking spot in the lane you want to pull into. And then just make sure you start with your rear tire perpendicular to the line as you would with the curb. That way, if you run wide, you don't risk running into opposing traffic. And don't be surprised if it takes you a while to master it. It's a fairly complex mix of clutch and throttle, plus body position while the bike is kind of at its least balanced low-speed state. But it's a valuable, valuable skill for riding on the street.
You know, what's very interesting is when I was taking the class for dirt bike riding, that is exactly the maneuver that we use to go around cones. And we kick that right leg out or kick that left leg out, and you almost put it way up. I mean, it's like straight out on the side that you want to turn. And then you're pushing opposed. You're pushing down on the opposed peg. And you're like, well, aren't you going to flip your... No, it's... You're actually pushing the tire into the ground while you're putting that you're swinging that right leg or that left leg, depending on which way you want to turn, and you're bending over and you're keeping the pressure of the bike on while you're turning. And oh my gosh, when you're out on the trail, those are tight. The trail bike riding is very tight corners. I mean, you're coming around hairpins. So you need to be able to throw that leg out right, left, right, left. You don't have two lanes to go down. You are like a half a lane, you're
running the cars. You're in the trees.
That's right. So now I'm like, that makes total sense what you just said, because you're flipping that out and you're maneuvering, and this is for very sharp corner. You can even do this for probably a U-turn if you needed to.
Yeah, anytime you need to make a turn from a stop, the technique is pretty similar. You want to get the bike sort of pre-leaned in the direction you want to go, put your uphill foot up on the peg. One of the tips I give my students is to actually, if you're making a right turn, put your left foot up on the peg, point your toes in the direction you want to end up going.
Oh. Yep.
And so that'll pre-lean the bike, and that kind of already gets your body almost preset to go that way, and your head's already turned, because it's funny, your head can follow your foot. Wherever your foot's pointing, your head's usually pointed the same way.
I have to admit, that's kind of true.
So,
and one of the biggest things is to remember to trust the bike. Because the bike, if you are moving, you're probably stable.
Yeah.
I actually had a lady that at one of our safety days, I had to show her that. I said, if you're moving, you're probably safe. You're probably stable. And so, you know, I got her and said, okay, pick up your feet. Can you pick up your feet first and then start out? Sure, she did. I said, okay, pick up your feet and then turn. Just like in a smooth thing, turn. Because if it started to move, I said, the only thing to remember is don't you stop. You have to make that turn.
And you got to roll the gas a little bit. You got to roll that gas
before
on.
You. That's right. You got to get straight up and down before you can do any braking or stopping at all. Once you start, you're committed. And boy, she got it. And then she gets on this little thing, you know, stop, you know, go from a stop. And they had a set so that we were in like actually in a corner so that you had to make it. There was nowhere to go. You had to make it.
Yeah.
And so she goes all the way around her, all the way around. And then she turns around, all the way around, all the way around. And oh boy, she's just giggling. She thinks this is the greatest thing that ever was because she didn't think she could do it. And it was just trusting the bike. Once she knew that if you do what you want to do, the bike will do it for you.
Almost every class, I say it at least once to somebody, a motorcycle's natural state is to be upright and rolling down the road. And it's when these big floppy meat bags that we put on the back of these things start messing with it and trying to make it do things it doesn't naturally want to do, that's when we get in trouble. If we leave it alone, it'll just go down the road.
Yep.
Yeah.
Perfectly happy. It's when we start messing with it that we get into trouble.
Well, speaking of messing with things and getting in trouble, a local gent it says a motorcyclist was killed yesterday in a crash along State Route 20.
In my neck of the woods.
Yep, along the North Cascades Highway. State troopers say 60-year-old Sean Greer of Everett was eastbound when he crashed into a tree after losing control of his bike about 31 miles east of Diablo Lake. Greer was reported missing by his family over the weekend after he left work Friday afternoon. So
One of the Facebook groups that I monitor for bikers assistance, bikers who need assistance.
Right.
The family posted up on there saying they were looking for him. They were going to go out and, you know, kind of scour the road and see if they could find any sign of him because his last phone ping was somewhere out there near Rockport. And it really sad that the outcome was what it was. But
yep.
So what it means is that he went off and then no one knew about it, and it took a while before somebody found him.
Well, at 31 miles east of Diablo,
that's pretty,
would have been going down.
Yeah,
he'd have been over
it's
the
downhill.
Top and headed down.
That's right.
And that's a problem that some people have both ways, is they go from up doing an uphill ride, and then they start down, and all of a sudden they lose it because they're used to giving it, you know, to get up. And then when they get over, it's like, if you do that, now it's like, okay, you know.
And instead,
well, you're way too fast.
From what I've seen, I didn't know the gentleman, but from what I've seen, he was, you know, an experienced motorcyclist, had a lot of miles under his belt, and it was not an unfamiliar road to him.
Right.
So, you know, who knows what happened? I mean, there aren't any witnesses.
No.
To tell us what happened. So, I mean, it could have been an issue where he had to take evasive action because a car was coming around a corner across the line or something, and he needed to, you know, evade. You know, could have been any number of things, but it's just a sad situation. And,
yeah. Well, there's our music. We'll be back in just a moment with our last segment.
What comes to your mind when you think about motorcycle riders? The first picture that comes to my mind is a road warrior. A road warrior is someone who has a passion for life and adventure, who willingly pits themselves against Mother Nature and the dangers of the road, all for a chance to see the world from the seat of a two-wheeled iron steed. A road warrior must approach biking in the same manner as a good soldier, because just like your military counterparts, you will always face plenty of real and potentially dangerous situations every time you're on the road. These include bad weather, animals, road conditions, pedestrians, and other vehicles that share the road with you. I suggest we apply the soldier's way of life to our riding experience by following these few simple rules. 1. Get basic training. 2. Get to know your equipment. 3. Keep your equipment in good running order. 4. Be prepared. Like the good soldier who carries his 50-pound pack, it's a good idea to carry proper riding gear, tools, and other essentials, including a cell phone, credit card, and at least $5 cash. 5. Just as a good soldier follows instructions given to him by his superiors, we need to follow our instructions too. Know the law and follow it. By doing this, you are less likely to encounter traffic tickets, higher insurance rates, and possible impoundment of your bike. 6. And lastly, keep a cool head. A trained soldier always keeps his cool, no matter what is coming at him. You can't think clearly when you're angry. And speaking of clear thinking, a good soldier would never face the enemy under the influence of drugs and alcohol, and neither should you. Ride sober. So to all of you, fellow road warriors, God bless, ride safe, and we'll see you out on the road.
When you want the latest news and information related to the Canadian motorcycling scene, then turn to BeltDriveBetty.com, your trusted source for all things motorcycling. BeltDriveBetty.com, serving the Canadian motorcycling scene since 2003.
Welcome back to the fifth and final segment of the show. We start things off with rallies and runs, where we briefly cover tours, rides, events, and more. Walt, what do you have on your calendar?
Well, I have it right here, and now I have to find it.
Well, while you're looking for it,
yes,
I'll put out a reminder. Monday is National Ride to Work Day.
Oh, okay.
Oh, my.
So ride your motorcycle to work.
Yes.
And while you're riding to work, John's going to be on his trip.
Right.
I'm going to be riding on my vacation.
Yeah. Now, you'll
and if you're in Redmond, and the Greater Redmond Transport Association tries to tell you all this crap about how bad motorcycles are, tell them to blow it out their backside, because they're idiots.
Oh, is this something
on
you
their
just
website?
Came across?
It says motorcycles put out 90 times
right
as
now.
Much.
Is it still say that?
It still says it.
I was reading an article in one of the blurbs today about Europe, and they have C3, C4, or whatever. They have 3, 4, 5, whatever. And they were saying, yeah, sure, motorcycles put out more pollutants per vehicle. But when you look at, they do not idle as long. They do not stay on the road as long. They get around longer, and they put a lot less of a footprint on. Consequently, they put out less pollutants than a car.
Well, the biggest thing about it is
so,
that,
yeah, they're still pushing this thing.
It's a trick.
Yes, it is.
Because, in fact, what it is, the official, real reading is that a motorcycle puts out 1.33 times what a car does per gallon burned.
Okay.
And burns one-third as many gallons.
For distance run.
That's right. So in the end, two motorcycles will go down the road, burn the same gas,
is
and
one
have
car.
Exactly the same as a car would.
That's right. Unless you're an electric car.
Right.
But then you're going to say, okay, then I'm going to have my electric bike.
That's right.
But an electric car, let's not forget where most of the electricity in this
That's
country
right.
comes
That's
from.
Right.
There's coal-burning furnace
coal
somewhere.
Coal-burning power plants.
That's right.
Anyway, Street Vibration was last week, was really good. 9-17 is Laconia, New Hampshire's going on right now. And my wife is getting all kinds of emails from her cousins going, I wish you'd come. Yeah. I know you like motorcycles. And then she goes, Walter, when are you going to take me?
Well, when I can get some extra cash in my pocket.
That's right. I said, hold her. I said, I want to get some extra bucks. But at any rate, July 14th, Dragon's Last Ride, which we've been talking about.
Yes.
Emerald City Harley-Davidson, okay. Sign in at 9, kickstands up at 9:30, dragonslastride.org. And on August 29th through September 2nd is the 115th anniversary celebration. And if they ever decide when they're actually going to do Biketoberfest, I will tell you.
Right.
But they keep changing it. So
darn them.
Darn them. Darn, darn, darn.
Yep.
And, yeah, so John, you're going to have a good time. You're going to be gone for, is it 10 days? Am I correct on that?
I'll be gone for 2 weeks.
14 days he's going to be gone.
Yep.
Well, I think I might be trying to talk to him on the road, and we'll capture some of that on and fill in if we can. Otherwise, he's going to have a great time. So, John, have a wonderful ride, and we'll see you in a couple weeks.
Thank you.
And there is our music. Remember, keep the chrome side up and rubber side down, and we'll see you out on the road.